words that allow you to do that. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring the hush of your presence to this room, as we're your holy people when we call upon you. You're worthy of the utmost from our hearts, and we would give that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses had grown up in wealth and prestige in the house of Pharaoh in Egypt, but after he murdered a guy, they found out and he had to flee. He had to flee. This is all in Exodus 1 and 2. This should actually say Exodus 3, verses 2 through 5. And so then he's just a shepherd out in some area, hundreds of miles away. He fled from Egypt. And he's out there one day, he's got his animals and stuff, and he sees this bush burning. It's like, well, maybe he saw bushes burning, but this one wasn't burning up. It kept on burning. He goes over there, he has to have a look at this thing. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. You know, Abraham in Genesis, the only time the Lord called to him was when he was commanded to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And the angel called out to, it says he called out to Abraham and said, don't do it. And then the sacrifice was provided. And that had been a test of Abraham's faith in the Lord, that he was willing to be obedient, even to the point of being willing to sacrifice his son, who was his promised son that his lineage was to descend from. But he called out to Abraham, said, to stop him. But Abraham wasn't called in the sense that Moses is called here. Because Abraham was the patriarch of a lineage of many, many generations. But by the time we get to Moses, there's a new thing about to start happening with the nation of Israel. And God calls this guy Moses, who's a murderer, who's fled, a very unlikely person. He calls him because he's going to give Moses purpose. And he starts by pointing out the very first thing that Moses needs to do is take off his sandals because he's on holy ground. There's this bush. It's burning, and it's not going away. And God is speaking to him out of this amazing thing is happening. God is speaking to him, and he's told, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Now, in the Trinity, people who are theologians and stuff, one of the things that they say about the Trinity is that in identifying the different members of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is the one who proceeds from God. Oftentimes, that's the way theologians will describe the Holy Spirit. He's the one who proceeds from God. And he has. He's proceeded toward us. But this is one of the first places where the Holy Spirit is proceeding, because the bush isn't making the ground in front of the bush holy. The Holy Spirit is here, and he's calling, he's summoning Moses to a life of purpose. And the first thing in that purpose is to respond to the holiness of God. The holiness of God. In Hebrews it says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He's a consuming fire. And I don't think we think of him that way that often. I don't think of God as a consuming fire. Here, in Moses' case, he was the God who was in the bush and not consuming the bush, but he is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire, and he's holy. I'm so glad that song about holiness was in the worship set. Wonderful song. I know, it's the Lord, he's just coordinating these things as he often does. You know, it's really beautiful. But God is a consuming fire. The unholy has no chance of standing in the presence of God. It will be consumed. Because the wrap-up of this whole existence here, when everything becomes part of the heavenly existence, the wrap-up, as Peter says, the end of all things that we know in this earth is to be burned up with fire. They'll have served their purpose. They won't have any use to God anymore. And he is a consuming fire. And these old things, by that point, they'll have been tainted with sin, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, but not the same stuff as of heaven. It's going to burn. God is a consuming fire of holiness. And we're called to holiness. In Romans 1, let's look at a few introductions of different books written in the New Testament. Romans 1, chapter 5 through 7, Paul is still introducing himself and the purpose of this book. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Like Moses was called. He was called by the Holy Spirit. He was called by God to a purpose that began in holiness. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this call to belong to Jesus Christ, and that begins in the same way that Moses was called, to be holy, to be holy. We're to be a holy people unto God. And in that context, Paul's wishes to these people is grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to be a holy people unto God, but the grace and the peace of God are there to help us on our way in that. Peter says, here in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires when you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So there's those words, called and holy. Again, called, like Moses was called to have purpose that starts with holiness. We're called to have purpose that starts with holiness. And you've been called like Moses was called. Ken. Cody by name says it twice. Jim. Come. Come to me. I'm calling you for a purpose. You have to come with holiness. Come and be holy. My grace and my peace are to be with you to help you on that. But come and be holy. God wants to free us from these things, these burdens and sins and distractions and old wounds, things that have damaged or will damage or are continuing and maybe currently damaging our souls. He wants to set us free, and he has the power to set us free to walk in holiness. We don't want to live that way. We're called to something different. And having received that call, we're not made for the old stuff anymore. We're called to a purpose that has its start, its very beginning is a call to holiness and to belong to Jesus, the one who can perfect holiness in you. He desires for us to be a holy people for him, and he's the one able to achieve that in us and furnish all the holiness and transformation that we need. So this call to holiness is not a burden, but it's a release into freedom and joy and a purposeful life that he's given us. But some things have to go sometimes. So Paul says to these guys in Galatia, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh." You're not free. You're not meant to be free so you can do the same things that were damaging you and making you unholy. That's not freedom. That's a return to slavery. You don't want to be slaves to that stuff. But you may be sensing if the Holy Spirit, if you're listening and he's speaking to you, you may be sensing that he's pointing out in some area in your life where you have some slavery. He wants to free you from that. Through his grace, through his peace, he can furnish what you need, the resources that you need, so you can be free from the old, the stuff that damages you, the stuff that robs you of freedom, the stuff that takes away holiness, to be free from that, to walk in this purpose. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." In Acts, it should be chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My apologies again. When the day of Pentecost came, that's the day, Pentecost is a day that commemorates the giving of the law. And it wasn't very many months or years later after Moses experienced that call at the burning bush that he went back to Egypt and through many different events and trials and plagues that afflicted both the Israelites and the Egyptians, brought the nation of Israel out, and they met God at Mount Sinai. And at Mount Sinai, the law was given to them. And the law is a glorious and beautiful thing, but it was given in noise of thunder and lightning and smoke, because the holiness of God was at that place. God was manifesting himself in holiness in this day when his will was becoming clearer than it had ever been to all of humanity. To this one group of people, he was making his will known clearer than it had ever been to any of humanity. And it was this presence of fire and smoke and lightning and noise and thunder on the mountain. The people were trembling. They were trembling. And the mountain, even the mountain in the presence of God, the mountain was trembling. Because in the presence of God, anything ought to tremble. Anything ought to tremble in the presence of God. And there was this manifestation of God in his holiness, bringing forth his will. And that was Pentecost, the day of the giving of the law. And now here in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost was a day that they celebrated. It was a day of recognition that God had blessed them with this law. But now there's a new law at work, the law of the Spirit of the law of the Spirit, which Paul talks about in Romans. So this day of Pentecost became the day when a new law came down out of heaven, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so this is what happens. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. There was this noise, a noise like on the mountain. There'd been this noise. Filled the whole house. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So on this day, the opening up of this new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that Paul talks about in Romans, that release is happening in a similar way to the mountain. There's this noise and there's this fire, except there's this beautiful gentleness in which this Spirit descends on each of them like a flame and doesn't consume them. Each of them receive the Holy Spirit coming like a fire. Yes, it connects. We see the fire of the mountain has become through Jesus, after the wrath of God is dispensed, this beautiful spirit that comes in gentleness, yes, with a noise and with power, but for each of us, the Holy Spirit, the one who makes us holy, the one who will make us all holy, the one who comes to us to give us purpose, whose very beginning starts with holiness. The very beginning of our purpose in belonging to Jesus, in being filled with the Holy Spirit, is to be holy like God is holy, like He Himself is holy. In the book of Acts, there's this interesting scene. People who were ministering in the name of Jesus were going around, they were healing, casting demons out of people, and they did that in the name of Jesus. But if you didn't know Jesus, you weren't qualified to do that because the Holy Spirit wasn't with you. You could name the name of Jesus. You could say the name of Jesus and try to cast demons out of people, but without the Holy Spirit, there was no power to back you up, and you had no authority because you actually weren't authorized by Jesus to do it. You can't be in the kingdom of darkness like these people were and invoke the name of Jesus and expect God to move on your behalf. Your motives are wrong. You're doing it for self-advancement, self-interest, self-promotion. And so there were these guys that were going around, Jews were going around, because they had seen that the name of Jesus was conquering the devil, and they could cast, people were casting out demons in the name of Jesus. So these guys gave it a shot. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? The man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. They didn't bring the Holy Spirit with them. They brought a pop gun to a gunfight. They brought nothing to that situation except arrogance, to think that they had the right, the authority, to invoke the name of Jesus against demons. And they were taught a lesson right there. And, you know, that's an interesting thing. They had no right to do that. They weren't authorized by God to do that. They had no authority to do that. And in fact, it was just their arrogance that had them in there doing that. There's nothing holy about this. They're just doing it. I don't know whether they even cared about that person. They probably cared more about themselves to advance their own interests and think well of themselves and have power and feel like they had power. So it was a quest for power in this case, not an effort driven out of holiness and out of love. But this really shook some people up around the area. So in the very next verses, when this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, this story about these seven guys, they were all seized with fear, and the name of Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. So I think this event that happened with the Jewish guys trying to drive out that demon and getting whooped in the process, it just brought home to people, these people in Ephesus, that you have to have holiness. You have to belong to Jesus Christ. You have to have been called. And if you have holiness, and if you belong to Jesus, and if you've been called, then you have authorization. Then you have calling and purpose. Then God can use you in these challenging situations like dealing with a demon. Then you can. Otherwise, you're not qualified. if you haven't been called, if you don't have this purpose, if you don't belong to Jesus, if your life or hasn't, if your life hasn't started in holiness, if your life in Christ and in this call hasn't started in holiness, who are you to minister in the name of God? And it shook people up. And I think they took a look at their lives and they said, man, I don't know if I've really been walking in holiness. I think they just did this self-evaluation. And they took a look at their calling and they evaluated their sense of whether they belong to God or not. And they just evaluated how wholeheartedly they were following God. And their response, they found out some things about themselves. They learned some things about themselves that were out of line with that. They're out of line. And their response is like, those things gotta go. I can't be double-minded like this. I can't have certain things in my life and call myself a child of God. The Holy Spirit just pressed upon them that the calling, the beginning of our calling is a calling to holiness. And that's a consistent calling. Even as God gives us purpose in our lives, we have to walk in holiness before Him. We're called to walk in holiness before Him. You shall be holy. You shall be holy. For I am holy. And He is a consuming fire, and He has every right to call us to that. He has every right to do that. So these people came and confessed what they had done, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. Some had practiced sorcery. These were people who had been believers. Maybe they had practiced sorcery in the past. Maybe they were still doing it as believers, as surprising as that would seem. But that might not be as far off as we imagine. Some had practiced sorcery. They still had scrolls for whatever reason. They still had scrolls and stuff. That's expensive stuff. It was expensive to have people write on paper, and it was expensive to create scrolls. So valuable items, they bring them forth. They brought their scrolls together and they burned them publicly. And they happened to add up the value of these scrolls, came to 50,000 drachmas. I can't remember, that's years' worth of wages. Years' worth of wages. So they took these things that were they had considered valuable to this point. And for the pursuit of holiness, and because of this realization that they were not in line with God, they were willing to sacrifice these things that even they had considered valuable up to this moment. But now they were only worthy of being burned because they in themselves now had a passion like the consuming fire of God, that these things too, unholy as they were, had to burn. They had to burn, and they burned them publicly. They made this a statement, not just an exercise in getting rid of these things, that no, we are not that kind of people. Certain stuff has no place in our lives. And as part of the community of Christ, this stuff has to go, and we're showing the whole town who we are and whose we are and where holiness has a place in our lives. So we've come because we were called to this God who is a consuming fire, who wants to give us purpose and give us freedom and send with us grace and peace to help us on the way. But the call always starts and it continues in holiness our whole lives walking with Him. There's this call upon us to live in holiness and walk in holiness before God because He's worthy of that. He's worthy of that. And He expects us to do that. He expects that as part of the response that we give to Him. Just like from the very first person He called by name, Moses, it started with holiness. It starts and it never ends for us with holiness. So I would like you to reassess your lives. Have you forgotten this? Call to holiness. Have you forgotten that we're called? It starts in holiness. You need to rid your lives of unholiness. Rid your lives of unholiness. Those people in Ephesus, when the Holy Spirit shook them up through these events, current events, they rid their lives of things that just didn't belong, that were a hindrance to them. they just realize that my freedom doesn't include possessing or even using these things. They've got to go. So some things in our lives, sometimes they have to go. I pray that the Holy Spirit is taking action right now to impress upon you what needs to be brought up to the altar. Take drastic action. Burn things if you need to. Take drastic action over this. Take drastic action. Come to the altar. The altar is open. Come to the altar now and repent. This is the day of salvation. If you've never heard the call of God upon your life, and you realize, I'm ensnared by this world. I'm trapped by the things of this world. I've been stuck in this. The things that I do, I don't want to do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. If that's your call, if that's your heart's cry before God, then come today and receive salvation. God's grace and his peace will be with you and help you along your way. Today is the day of salvation. Come, but come and return to holiness. Reassess your life. And if you have to come up here, we'll be alongside you. And grace and peace, we'll have words of grace and peace for you to help you along your way. Because God wants you to walk in holiness. There's no place for holiness, unholiness, in the life of a believer. And holiness will bring you joy and gladness and power for your life. And you will have purpose, and God will be with you. Otherwise, you're double-minded, and that just brings instability. So come to the altar. I'm done. I don't have anything else to say. Come up here. Come up to the altar. Come, because God's calling you. And there's something you need to take drastic action for. If there's something like that you need to take drastic action about, come up and do that business with God now. He's calling you, maybe calling you. It starts with a call to holiness. His first words to Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. It's different here. It's different. If you want to be near me, it's different. The old, the unholy, it can't be in your life. If you're going to be near, and I've called you, like he called Moses, you come to me, it's different here. Holiness is required. It's required. Thank you, Lord, that your grace and peace are with us to help us on the way. We would not withhold from you that which you deserve, which you've earned, a response from us that takes your holiness seriously. You're a consuming fire, a consuming fire. We have grace and peace through Jesus Christ, but you are still who you are, a consuming fire. Nothing unholy in us will survive that fire. It will burn. And we would rather give it to you now than suffer the heat of those flames. The flames of hell, just the flames of dead works that get burned up in our presence, that just get excoriated from our lives. We would be the holy people that you call us to be. We would agree with you, Lord, that your call upon us is to holiness. We owe you that. You've made us belong to Jesus. We owe you that as at least the starting point for our life walking in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and peace that go with us in this. It's challenging. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'd like you to come up. We'll